So my presentation is about etiologic and geographical profile of mortality among the homeless over 10 years in Maryland. I have no financial disclosures to make. So first of all, a little bit of background. So of course, homelessness has a great relation to health, a rather terrible relationship to health, often being the cause of health problems and sometimes being the result of health problems, both mental and physical. I don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this, I'm sure. And additionally, presents a number of challenges for researchers in measuring the homeless population and their health effects, as Ms. Green presented in the previous presentation. There are a number of methodologies that can be used to measure and describe the homeless population, all of which have some deficiencies. Point-in-time estimates are probably our best way of figuring out the size of the homeless population in a given area, and even then probably represent a significant undercount. From the best measures we have, Maryland has, this is in a state of 6 million people, almost 10,000 homeless people at any given time, about 3,500 unsheltered, and 1,300 chronically homeless. And this study that I'm presenting here really comes from, we have access to data from one of the most comprehensive statewide accredited medical examiner systems in the country, and wanted to see what we could use that data to say about the homeless population in Maryland and what health risks they face. So here is the new headquarters of the Chief Medical Examiner in West Baltimore. So it's one of a small number of accredited statewide medical examiner systems in the country, and it performs death investigations among decedents who are not under medical care at the time of death, deaths from injury, and other deaths from suspicious circumstances, which ends up being, I don't know exactly what percent, but certainly a large number of the deaths among the homeless population. These investigations involve a review of records, police records, hospital records, and sometimes autopsies and laboratory investigations. For this study, we included patients if they had been marked by the medical examiner as homeless. There's a checkbox for this in the examination form, for a 10-year period from the beginning of 2004 to the end of 2013. This ended up giving us 942 records. We excluded a handful who actually had died in surrounding states, and a handful who had been probably not actually homeless on close review of the data. So from the death investigations, we have demographic information. We have the final determination of cause of death and manner of death, manner of death being natural, accidental, homicide, suicide, or undetermined. And of note, in Maryland, overdoses are often classified as undetermined because there's really limited evidence in many cases whether it was intentional or unintentional. And then there's also data in these records on incident location, which could be where a body was recovered, it could be where a living person was found and then transported to medical care. We also have data from ESRI and from Maryland's GIS portal on census tract level data about demographics. So analysis was performed with Stata and geocoding with ArcGIS. So moving on to results, we had in total 840 death records from this time period, with a median age of 48, no decedents under 18 years, and the bulk of our subjects between the ages of 30 and 60. Overwhelmingly male, and actually almost two-thirds of them were white. So for cause of death, you can see about a quarter from heart disease. This is not an all-inclusive list. About 10% from exposure, a third from acute intoxication, mostly involving drugs, often alcohol as well. And then a substantial number of pedestrians struck. And of these, a quarter were struck by trains, which I find particularly unusual. And of the homicides, of course, homicide is really a manner of death, but breaking down the homicides into cause of death, you see firearms really nationally for firearm deaths in the general population, about three-quarters of people killed by homicide in the U.S. are killed with a firearm. And with the homeless population, in Maryland, you can see a much greater proportion of people dying from what we typically think of as less lethal means, such as stabbing and blunt force trauma. For manner of death, the plurality were natural deaths, but quite a lot from other manners of death, really highlighting the vulnerability of this population. And here you can see that the ages of the population really were quite different for different manners of death. The youngest subjects being those who died by homicide. Now, comparing this to other populations, so for the male, our counts, so this is a point-in-time survey of the homeless population in Maryland from 2009 and then 2010 census data from Maryland general population. So these are both the comparison populations here are live people and not decedents. We see many more males than in either the Maryland homeless population or the general population. And actually, in terms of the racial composition, our study population was statistically identical to the Maryland general population, but actually had a lot more whites than the Maryland homeless live population. And nobody under age 18 in our study. So we used multiple regression to look at demographic differences in the manner of death. So this isn't really showing the risk of death for these various groups because all of the subjects were dead, but it does is a way of kind of seeing how the demographic patterns vary for the different manners of death. And to me, the most interesting thing here, I mean, you can see that in multivariate regression, as we saw with the slide showing the different ages for manner of death, homicide victims tend to be younger. And there's an overrepresentation of African Americans among homeless people dying from homicide. But to me, the most interesting part of this is really the female population. So in comparison to the general population, where men are much more likely to die from external causes, in the homeless population, really sex had no relationship. Women were just as likely as men to die from homicide or unintentional injury. And then here, this actually kind of shows our methods, too, for the geographical geospatial analysis. So here are the deaths geocoded onto a map of Maryland. The spidery gray lines are the census tracts. So we geocoded the deaths, overlaid them on census tracts, and our analysis that we'll get to a couple of slides further. We had, of course, most census tracts had, over this 10-year period, had no homeless deaths in them. And then quite a few census tracts had one homeless death, and then really only had one census tract with more than 11 deaths. Downtown Baltimore had 36 deaths in it. So because this distribution was so uneven, here you can see Baltimore City, you can see especially the downtown area, a great number of deaths. And then here's overlaid as well. These are bus routes overlaid onto the census tracts. So because our data were so dispersed as to the number of deaths within a census tract, we just used the binary value. Was there a death in a 10-year period in this census tract or not? And doing simple logistic regression for census tract level variables, you can see almost all of these variables relating to the socioeconomic status of a given census tract did have a statistically significant relation to the chance of there being a homeless person found dead or dying in that census tract over a 10-year period. And with the strongest effects being median household income, being quite protective, and vacant homes, and actually access to public transportation correlating with increased odds of a homeless person being found dead in that census tract. Of course, a lot of these variables are different aspects of socioeconomic status. So in multiple logistic regression, a lot of them drop out due to being collinear. And of these variables that stuck around in the multivariate model, really all of them have odds ratios closer to one than they did in simple regression. The one really interesting part is that the percentage of non-Hispanic blacks in the census tract actually went from being a positive predictor in simple regression to being somewhat protective after controlling for other aspects of socioeconomic status. And access to public transportation, so MTA is the bus system in Baltimore metro area, and WMATA in the Washington, D.C. Metro area, has a high correlation, one of our second most predictive factors for a homeless person being found dead within a census tract. Now, I don't want to make too big a point of this. This won't show you, you can't predict where homeless people death incidents will occur. The pseudo R-squared value for this is only 0.12, but it does show that these variables of census tract geography does have an influence on where homeless people end up dying as well as where they may live. So a few conclusions can be drawn from this. First of all, homeless decedents are different from the general population. The population here is much younger than the expected life, expected age of death in America. And there's a great overrepresentation of external causes, including exposure and acute intoxication. And then even looking amongst violent deaths, really a lot of deaths from less lethal mechanisms than we would see in the general population. There are a number of potential explanations for this, and all of them really are different aspects of vulnerability, whether it's lower levels of social capital, lower baseline health status, putting homeless people at greater risk from dying from lesser physiologic insults, and potentially less access to emergency services, all really relating to vulnerability. And when we look at these, the geospatial distribution, we can see, probably coming as a little surprise, that areas of concentrated poverty are really the most likely areas to have homeless people turning up dead or dying in them, with high rates of housing vacancy, but also access to public transportation being an important part of this. There are a few limitations to this. One of them is our inclusion criteria. So literally there is a checkbox on the death investigation form for whether the subject was homeless or not. And there's enough narrative and other information in the death investigation folders to be able to say that people included in this study really were homeless. However, it's really not clear how many death investigations were performed for homeless people who were not recognized to be homeless at the time of their death. Of course, not able to ask about housing stability during the death investigation. So perhaps there are an unknown but potentially large number of people who were not listed as homeless but should have been. Another part is that neither I nor my co-investigators are really experts of GIS analysis. So really it's a pretty basic overlay. We overlaid the death locations onto census tracts, but there is a certain robustness that comes with that simple analysis. And then finally, Maryland, actually Maryland's state nickname is America in Miniature, but I recognize that our state is a little different from every other state, and I don't know how well this relates to other areas of the U.S. or internationally. Also, the overwhelming majority of our deaths were in urban and suburban areas, so while we do have a number of rural areas in western and eastern Maryland, they're not as well represented and played less of an impact in our statistical analysis. So most importantly, who cares? Why is this useful? So this data does show that there is a significant unmet need for injury and violence prevention among the homeless, with a lot of deaths occurring from fairly minor physiologic insults. And it really also highlights the utility of death investigations for public health surveillance, not only as death investigations lead to vital statistics, but there's really a lot of additional value, including geographic data, that can be useful for understanding epidemiology. And so I'd like to thank my co-investigators, Dr. Kempsey Fowler, who's here today, and her husband, our chief medical examiner, for Maryland, as well as the Hopkins School of Public Health faculty and staff who've helped me do this, and my wife and her co-workers at Healthcare for the Homeless in Baltimore. Thank you.